Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good Sunday morning. It's another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones, sponsored by Brighter Day Law. And I hope everybody's enjoying this beautiful Sunday. I know Colorado summers are always the very best time of year. At least they're my favorite time of year. And if I get a treat for everyone here today, our guest is a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Hallie Friedman of Robert Andrews Medical Aesthetics. And we've got her in studio today and going to have an opportunity to talk with her about the special calling that she has to serve the Colorado Springs community. Welcome, Hallie.
Hi, Angela. Thank you so much for having me.
No, absolutely. I'm just really thrilled that you were able to be with us here today. And we had talked kind of before coming into the studio this morning about sort of the reason that we do the Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, that it all started because I just became, you know, really intrigued with connecting with other professionals who are helping professionals that are serving in capacities that we don't necessarily think of as helping professionals. And so Robert Andrews Medical Aesthetics, you're a nurse, but Robert Andrews Medical Aesthetics is, how would you describe that business?
Well, it helps women and men every day feel and look better about themselves. And we do all sorts of different treatments to help build up not only their self-esteem, but also the way that they feel they look. So when they walk, you know, whether it's a professional level, whether it's on a personal level in their relationships, whatever level it is, that it can help them not only look, but feel better about themselves. And every day I feel like I'm giving something back.
So, and I know you're a nurse practitioner, correct?
I'm actually a master degree nurse with an MBA,
okay,
but not a practitioner.
All right.
But I actually employ and hire the physicians and the PAs that are working with me currently.
Okay,
so
great. So how did you, so what was your history that brought you, one, to the Springs, but also to do this type of work?
So it's kind of started when I was really young, and I always enjoyed the fact I grew up with five sisters.
Mm.
And so my sisters were always the closest and dearest in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up actually initially in foster homes.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty hard as children, and I was next to youngest. And so watching my sisters grow up and myself grow up, I realized that it seemed to impact them on their appearance, because at that point in time in our lives, we weren't built up a lot with our self-esteem.
Gotcha.
So the beauty industry seemed to be the way my sisters were going, but it wasn't necessarily the way I was going.
Right.
So I had a lot of compassion in regards to how much they struggled in their life. And unfortunately, I lost several of them over the years as they struggled and tried to fit in. And although it wasn't about the way they looked, it was always about the way they felt. And as I kind of went on in my profession, I joined the military, and I realized that within the military, I dealt with a lot of women who had a lot of the same type of self-esteem issues.
Can we talk a little bit more about that? And so you said they were working in the beauty industry, or was it sort of that the ideal, like the physical ideal or the beauty ideal that was out there that they seemed to struggle with?
So I think it would be a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely the beauty idea. They were beautiful girls. I mean, all my sisters were very attractive at one point in time. So it wasn't about the look, but they found that the way they looked had everything to do with what they did in regards to their careers and where they went in regards to the, just their lives in general. And so they really struggled in that area. And it was something that I felt really, deeply about, but also within my medical career, even when I ran and worked in emergency departments, the nurses I worked with and the doctors I worked with and the patients I worked with, for whatever reason, it seems as humans that we always seem to go back to, and people like to call it vanity.
Yeah.
But I think we all struggle with it. And when I really started looking at it and analyzing it, I realized it wasn't just with humans, it's with animals too.
Mm-hmm.
So with my cat, cat, if I shaved my cat, for instance, my cat's hiding under the bed as soon as I bring him home. And if you go shave your dog, he's doing the same thing. So why would that be important to those animals?
The grooming, you mean?
The grooming. Okay. And so it sounds kind of different, but they all of a sudden, as far as any creature, we all want to fit in. And so whether we're in a professional level and we're interviewing for jobs, whether or not we're trying to fit in with dating and we're out there and we're single, whether it's male or female, that still seems to play a huge role. And as my family was growing up, it wasn't really where we all sat around and dealt with it. We were always grooming each other, I think, in a different level. Yeah. And so even in the ER, when I was actually an ER nurse, I was grooming my patients. And I realized that even prior to some of them passing away in the ER, there were older people and they couldn't see anymore and they couldn't see what they looked like. But I actually, one patient in particular, I always remember from when I first became a nurse, and he was really, really sick, and his wife would sit on the side of, you know, of his bed every day and she'd come and see. And one day I went in there and I just trimmed up his eyebrows and he had hair coming out everywhere and he was kind of a mess. And whatever reason, I decided I needed to, you know, not only was I taking care of him and giving him his IV meds and everything, I really just wanted to take care of him. And his wife started crying because she hadn't had anybody who felt that, you know, who did anything like that for him, and she wasn't able to do that for him. And for whatever reason, it really touched my heart, because even at the later stages of life, and he ended up passing away probably like within a week after that relationship occurred, and she came to me and just was like, I can't believe somebody did that for him. And it was just one of those things. She goes, I couldn't do it for him. My children didn't do it for him. But the fact that you came in without knowing him and you did that for him. And I don't know. I still want to cry about it because it really touched my heart.
Well, that's very, I mean, it is really touching. And I think it's, you know, that's, you know, been my observation of you, is that you're really, I mean, you're making me want to tear.
I know,
right,
it does.
Now. My observation of you has been that that is exactly why you are doing what you're doing. It's, you know, to give, you know, very tangible care to people. And, you know, and I don't know, you know, is it vanity? Isn't it vanity? Probably some amount. But I think for me, when we go and take, you know, get a shower, get our hair cut, you know, go to an aesthetic center, you know, to get Botox or take care of veins or, you know, go get plastic surgery, whatever it is we, you know, decide or choose to do, I think it really is about self-care a lot of times for people.
Absolutely.
You know, that it's, you know, people have maybe deferred that self-care for whatever reason for a period of time.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed that even within my practice, I've had more women cry in my in the chair that they're sitting in when they tell me why they're there. Because I always sit down in a chair and I ask them, why are you here? And sometimes it's because they've been widowed and they're now single. They never expected that. They've lost children sometimes. And whatever it is, sometimes loss, whether it's within a marriage, whether it's within the family, whether it's relationships, you know, it seems to really impact the way they see themselves. And so in sometimes it's losing a job, you know, and knowing that, oh, I'm 50 years old and I'm competing with somebody who's 25 years old. They have more, you know, the same education, but now I'm competing against them and who's going to get this job. And so a lot of women will come in and they're really afraid sometimes. They're worried about whether or not they're employable, and that helps them feel better. And I can't say that I haven't been more as equally fulfilled doing this as I was working in the ER.
So you have been as equally fulfilled or more fulfilled?
I would say probably more fulfilled. I loved them both.
Right.
They're just a different kind of fulfillment. You're still helping every single day, and I feel like I'm making a difference every single day in both men and women's lives. And so I'm really impressed with how many men come into my practice now as well, for the same exact reasons that women were coming in.
Well, and let's talk about that. Like, when somebody does come in, and you gave a variety of examples of, like, you know, when a person might come in and you know, ask for you to, you know, work with them or what have you. What impact, what differences do you see from, like, when they first walk in to when they're, you know, completing their services or packages?
Well, I would say the biggest impact is obviously they're happier. Mm-hmm. So you're giving, and it just sounds so, I mean, for me, I really struggled with this because I was struggling with the self-care versus the physical care of a patient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether or not I'm helping somebody who's had a heart attack or whether I'm helping somebody with their physical needs. And as you said, their self-care is huge, no matter at what part and place and time you're in your life. You know, whether you're struggling with your weight, we help with that. You know, whether you're some people have excessive hair, some people have scars, you know, some people are injured in the battlefield. And when I was in the Air Force, I saw a lot of that because I was a battlefield nurse. And so some of the injuries that they actually went through can be fixed, and they can, some of the scars can be, you know, reduced, and some, a lot of times, mm-hmm. they feel better about themselves. And so I would, it's the most fulfilling job I've ever done, because they get to come back and see me in the ER, and they never wanted to come back and see me. We don't want to see them come back to the ER,
right.
But I love them when they come back into my practice.
So it sounds like you're building relationships then with the people who come to see you now as well.
Definitely. Definitely. I probably have made more friends and more relationships than I've ever made in my entire life. So I have a really personal sense of pride because I have the loyalty and I must be doing something right, you know, right. And that makes me feel good about myself, I guess.
Right. You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood on KPPF, and today our very special guest is Hallie Friedman. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your military service. There's a lot of military folks who come to Colorado's, Colorado Springs, especially. Is that how you landed in Colorado Springs?
Exactly how I landed in Colorado Springs. So I got stationed here at one point in time, and that's actually when I got into flight nursing. Mm. So I was prior enlisted and did computers initially, and then got my nursing degree along the way. And one of my very first duty assignments was here after becoming an officer in Colorado Springs. But I've loved Colorado Springs, and so I did a 3-year tour here, went back out to D.C., and then this is where I decided to come back and retire.
And your family's here as well?
They are.
Yeah.
Some of my family. Most of my family's in Northern Washington State.
Yeah, because I understand you have a new grandbaby.
I do. Yeah. Yeah, so. She's adorable.
Right. Well, and it's amazing just looking at you to imagine that you would have a new grandbaby, but I think your youngest just graduated from high school recently. Is that right?
That's correct. Right? Yes, during COVID.
I know that this past year has been kind of crazy with the COVID.
Yeah. I think your youngest graduated from high school as well.
She did. Yeah. Chloe graduated this year, and, they're getting ready to, I think it's really fantastic how, you know, things have begun to open back up, and, the kids are going to be able to go to college and actually attend in person. But I was thinking, when we were sitting through the graduation ceremonies, and you probably had one with your daughter as well, the superintendent was talking about just how much resilience that the kids had been able to develop because of these circumstances this past year. And that really struck me. In terms of, how oftentimes we, not to discount bad, okay, at all, but how often people can miss how much good, how much resilience, how much caring that comes out of that type of adversity, kind of leads me back around, to this idea that you and your sisters were kids in foster care. And then ultimately you ended up, as a military officer with a master's degree running this aesthetic center. So, what are your thoughts on all of that?
My thoughts are is that your beginnings don't necessarily dictate where you end up. Mm-hmm. It all comes from your heart. It comes from your determination, and it comes from your perseverance, and it mm-hmm. also comes from the opportunity that are put in front of us mm-hmm. and our ability to actually do something with those opportunities. I think oftentimes in life we get opportunities and we let them pass us by. And I felt really fortunate and blessed in the fact that I was given an opportunity. I made a decision to join the military when I was 17 years old, not necessarily making the same decisions that my sisters made, and my sisters made different decisions that didn't actually work out as well for them. My youngest did well, mm-hmm. but my older ones made some, you know, poor decisions because of their own self-esteem issues. So,
well, and also the experiences that you guys encountered in foster care. And
yeah,
it was that led you to foster care, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah, that wasn't always a great place, but mm-hmm. I personally always saw the sunshine in my life,
right.
and I always could find it. And I think that you're born with some of that. I think a part of it's the people you influence yourself with, mm-hmm. and also your surroundings. So I don't know. I just always felt like I was born with a really good heart, and it was mm-hmm. different than other people I've met. So mm-hmm. I love giving back, and that's what I love doing in my practice. It's never been about the money. In fact, I'll probably never be rich because I love to give more than I take.
So you were talking about the opportunity. So how did the opportunity to join the military come up for you?
So I had a girlfriend of mine who was dating a guy who mm-hmm. was stationed at Fairchild Air Force Base. And I got...
Where's that?
That's in Spokane, Washington.
Okay. Oh, that's how... Okay. Yeah. There's the Washington yeah. connection.
And I'd never been on a military base before. Mm-hmm. And so she brought me with her to meet this guy. And when I was out there, I looked around and they were living in the dorms. And mm-hmm. it seemed like an anomaly to me because I was like, they pay for this? They pay for your room and board? They right. actually pay for your food? And they actually clothe you? And I was like, well, I'm all in.
right.
And they pay for your education. So...
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a way to serve your country, but it's also, I think a lot of people who have joined and decided to stay in, it ended up making a huge difference for their families in the future and what the opportunities I was able to give my children as well. So mm-hmm. that's been really an exciting adventure. Plus, I've never felt more fulfilled, and I loved serving in the Air Force. So I served 20 years between active duty and reserve. So
what did you do initially? What was your first job?
My first job, I was stationed in Germany, and I was a computer operator. So back then, we had big paper tapes, and we had big reels, and we did not even have small computers. IBM, Microsoft wasn't even around, and the internet didn't exist.
Right.
So about 3 years into my military career, a lot of that started happening. So I got picked up and became an instructor for the Air Force for information systems 3 years into my career. And at that point in time, we started looking at small computers. And so that was kind of a cool transition. It's really neat to see where computers have gone since I started.
It was funny. I was talking with someone actually a little bit earlier today and was explaining that my work study job in college was working in the computer lab at the university where I was. And at that point in time, and we're talking about early 90s time frame, it was all MS-DOS. Mm-hmm. And so everything was word processing. And the internet was a thing, but it was this very mysterious, you know, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody really researched anything on the internet.
We couldn't find anything. It wasn't out there yet.
There was nothing there. And I mean, this was in a similar time frame, maybe 5 years prior to that, there were no cell phones. Like, I remember following the time when I worked in this work study, when I went to law school, you know, we didn't have cell phones. Like, I was joking around. It wasn't even important enough to have a pager, you know? Like, if something had happened, you know, with my son while I was in school, they would have called the law school main office, I guess, and come and got me out of class.
I don't remember how people got a hold of us.
I don't think that's my whole thing. When my husband first got his first cell phone, it was, you remember like the ones that came in the cans that looked like army ammo cans or whatever?
It was
this big block. And so he brings it and puts it in the car. And I'm like, who needs to call you in the car? Nobody needs to call you in the car.
Yeah.
So it is amazing how much, you know, even in that short span of time, technology has changed. But what I find is really interesting, so how does a girl go from doing that, which was a very different type of career field for a woman at that time? It was a new career field, period, but, you know, it kind of that to getting into nursing.
So that's kind of an interesting question because I really never aspired to be a nurse. I didn't know what I wanted to do at one point in time. But at that point in time in my life, I became a single mom with a one and a five-year-old. And at that time, the internet, I remember just being having the new ability to send emails, and that was foreign. But I was looking at my life and thinking, that's no career. I have no future in this. I can't raise my children like this. So let me go and see if I can go. And so I started taking college classes, a lot of them in computers, went to a counselor, and based upon the classes I'd taken, they said, why don't you take this test? And so I took a test, and they said, do you ever think about going into nursing? And I was like, no. And they were like, well, and I said, well, let me go ahead and apply. So I went ahead and applied. They were only taking so many applicants, and I got picked up. And honestly, the first year in nursing school, I wanted to know what I was doing there. And then I realized that they were all processes, just like information systems. And so I could understand that, but that lovey, feely, warm stuff wasn't where I was at that point in time in my life. It was always a part of who I was,
right?
But I didn't put that together with who I was going to be. And then over the years, I realized that was who I was always supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be sitting in front of a computer. In fact, I can't sit still long enough to sit there.
Well, and I think that's really interesting what you're talking about, this idea that becoming, you know, I mean, and I think that's something, you know, just in knowing what I've learned about difficult life circumstances or, you know, outwards. I mean, even things like the pandemic hitting or trauma, different kinds of things that can cause us to make adaptations in how we live our lives. And that starts to make us think this is who we are. And the reason I'm sort of thinking this through is very much what you do at Robert Andrews helps people with that integration process. Does that make sense to you?
100%.
Yeah. Like, will you talk about that a little bit more from your perspective then?
Well, I guess it just depends on what place and time in their life. And so at different, you know, I have different ages of patients as well. So they stem from anywhere from the early 20s, which surprised me when I first started my practice because I wasn't expecting to see these young ladies because their skin is perfect. They don't have any wrinkles, you know, but they still find something, you know, whether it's sometimes it's just a mole on their face. So it can be simple as that. But then I go all the way into, I have patients, and I love these. These are my favorite ones, are the ones who are in their mid-80s. And when every time they walk in the door, I'm so happy to still see them. But it blows me away that you can be 80 and they still want to look their best. You know, whether it's for their spouse, whether it's for themselves, whether, and sometimes it's being, you know, in their daughter's weddings or their granddaughter's weddings by that time. But those are my favorite patients, are the ones that have aged a little bit. And I love them all in between. But it's really interesting. The transition of women in their 50s is always interesting too, because I find that anywhere from 40 to 60 is my greatest, largest client base.
Yeah, preach, I'm there.
Yeah. And I think that's when women start really struggling, and men, with what's going on with just how their appearance may be changing how they feel about themselves.
When there's hormonal changes that take place during that time frame too.
Correct.
That if that, you know, kind of like one day you wake up and you're like, whoa, what just happened?
Or correct.
Like, who is that?
Yeah. Well, they're looking in the mirror and they don't see themselves anymore. And so sometimes giving them a little piece of what they used to see themselves like sometimes helps them strive to be somewhere, you know, just makes them feel better. And it also makes them strive to do better because they're not done with their career at 40. They're not done with their career a lot of times at 50. But they're trying to figure out what's my next step and where am I going to go and how do I get there? So,
is it really the confidence piece more so? I mean, I kind of like, you know, that feel better, you keep coming back to, you're helping them feel better or look their best or get, you know, back a little bit more of who they are. Is it really that confidence piece? That
it's huge. Confidence is
the main thing, or is there some other?
Some of it is definitely without question confidence. Some of what I do, we actually do health because of health reasons also. So there are some things that can be problematic in a person's life, even if I'm doing infusion therapy. You know, some I've had actually a number of patients who have just gone through chemotherapy. So they're losing their hair and they don't know what, I mean, there's a lot of things going on with them with their skin physically. And there's some things that I can still do that are safe for them, even while they're going through those processes. And I've had a number of those patients as well. So I, you know, for me, I'm always like, well, if I was going through that, how would I feel? But I'm not really identifying with how I would feel because I wouldn't even have an idea of how they would feel. And so when mm-hmm. they're crying and they're struggling and they feel unattractive to their spouse mm-hmm. because everything seems to be falling apart, or they've had their breasts, you know, removed because of a breast cancer, mm-hmm. those little tiny little things that you can do and give back helps them with their self-esteem, helps them with their confidence mm-hmm. without question. And it's always wonderful when I see them beat the battle that they're fighting.
Well, and I think it's, you know, as I've even gotten to know you better here today, and we know each other pretty well, you know, just the your ability to connect with people where they are at so many, you know, various junctures, like, you know, and what I'm, you know, thinking of now, like you said, you became a single mom when you were relatively young. And so you've even walked through that process. And so I would imagine that helps you to connect with people that are in that type of a transition, whether that's men or women or...
Yeah, I would say that, you know, not only have I suffered some loss, a lot of loss at mm-hmm. different times in my life, so I can definitely relate to that mm-hmm. on an emotional level. It's definitely transitioning, as I said, with single mom, trying to find a new partner, mm-hmm. going through divorce, mm-hmm. whatever. It's difficult. And it's, you know, we're not always at our best when we're doing it. And then what's really interesting, and while we were talking, I was thinking about it, social media, right?
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Right.
We're all on camera.
Right.
All of us. And with COVID, they're on Zoom. And so that's where I've seen a really big transition in my industry mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. people are looking at themselves all the time. So why is that important? Mm. Because every day we look in the mirror and we brush our hair.
Right.
Let's hope.
Right, right. Well, and I know, even today here while we're doing this radio program, you know, we've got video running, you know, so that we can have web content. And that's huge. I mean, it used to be, you know, get an ad in the magazine or, you know, go show up here and there. But now it's like, you know, that social media presence that people want to be able to, you know, go onto your website and, you know, take a look at who you are and, you know, what you're doing across the spectrum. I think that's actually really, really huge. Speaking of websites, do you have some contact information for our listeners in case they would like to get more information about your business and the types of services you could offer?
Absolutely. It's www.robertandrewsmedical.com.
And Holly, do you have any special offer that you could provide to our listeners today if they were to give you like the code Brighter Day?
Absolutely. They can definitely come in and they can get automatically $25 off any service that they're looking for, whether it's just a basic facial to help the hydration of their skin, because we live in Colorado,
right?
Or whether it's maybe even Botox or filler. It just depends on what they're looking for. So if it's something more aggressive than that, we could always have a personal conversation, and I'm always willing to work with them, especially if they mention that they were they listened to you on this show.
All right. Well, we really appreciate your time here today. And I just appreciate the commitment that you have to the people that you serve, because, I mean, I happen to know, you know, based upon, you know, experience in sending people to you. And you also, I think the first time I met you, I was doing the laser hair.
You were.
I was doing laser hair for my legs. And I've got to tell you, that was life-changing for me, because I will, you know, everybody has this thing they hate to do. And some people it's washing dishes, other people it's folding clothes. I hated to shave my legs. And so now I don't have to.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't know, it's that those little kind of things that can be just really huge.
But little time freedom sometimes.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Some of us need it more than others.
And comfort for me.
Exactly.
So. But thank you so much for sharing yourself and your time with us here today.
Angela, thank you so much for having me.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.